independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's a Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm a Jeremy Branham. We're talking about the Space Cowboys. I like the name. Joel's not a big fan of the name. Sugarland changing their minor league team name from the Skeeters to the Space Cowboys. We had a loyal listener the other day listening to our show that apparently our conversation inspired him so much that he wrote a song about the conversation and the Space Cowboys, and here it is for the first time.
Sugarland's a town in Texas. From Houston, it's a little southwest. Folks in Sugarland, I tell you, their barbecue's the best. They got them a minor league ball team, Astros Farm Club, they stay close. They just changed their name, and I thought you ought to know. Skeeters is what they was, go Skeeters, go, go, go. They're now the Space Cowboys, thought you ought to know. Well, maybe they'll get Steve Miller to throw out the first pitch. Maybe they'll get Buzz Aldrin to wear boots and tie a hitch. I hope going from a Skeeter to a Space Cowboy does them well. How they do in Sugarland, only time will tell. Skeeters is what they was. Go Skeeters, go, go, go. They're now the Space Cowboys. Thought you ought to know.
And with that, the first pitch is 5 minutes away. Skeeters Baseball is now the Space Cowboys from Sugarland.
I loved it. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay.
I'm seeing criticism on Twitch. I'm the one who told you guys that we have to play that.
No, yes, yeah, that's the first time we've heard it. The songwriter sent it to Brendan. Like, that to me, that's a song that I want to drink with a cold beer. Or maybe a little bit of whiskey on a big rock, around a fire maybe. I thought it was very good. It's way better than It's Football Time in Houston. Like, easily.
I mean, it's hard to be critical of it because it's not for the Astros or the Rockets or the Texans. It's just for the minor league baseball team. But, I mean, I appreciate the effort.
I thought it was outstanding. I thought it was great. You wouldn't drink a little cold beer around, listen to that around the campfire?
I'm not saying that, but whiskey, there's a difference between that and like playing that as the fight song, or what's the one that Let's Go Astros that everybody plays from back in the 70s?
No, it's not a fight song. I would agree with that. Yeah. It's more of like some easy listening, drinking some cold beer with some compadres, I feel like.
Okay. And I think that also, like, if this catches the wave that Brendan thought it would and that everybody needs to get a copy of that, then I'm sure that we could add some drums and some synthesizers and some other things to enhance the overall.
I like the acoustic version.
Well, I thought, here's what I thought.
That's
I'm not saying it's the best thing to ever exist.
Unplugged.
What?
It's the unplugged version.
We said the same thing.
I'm not saying it's the best song to ever exist, but this was one of our listeners who put that out there. When he told me originally that he was going to send me a song, I was like, whatever, I'll listen. I assumed it was going to be awful, and if we played it, like, that would be why. That wasn't the case. Now, I didn't tell you guys ahead of time. I talked to him a little bit via email because I was impressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he could be lying, but I buy it. His email fits it. He has songwriting credits in, like, several movies.
Really?
Get Him to the Greek, for example. He has written songs for that. He's a couple other movies as well. So we have I don't know if you call him famous, but we have a successful songwriter
Legit songwriter.
Did you make a request for him to write a song for you?
No. So I didn't. But my plan was to send him this segment and just let him know, like, we enjoyed it. And anything you want to send us, keep sending him on over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we looking for a Killer Bees theme song, or are we looking for one that just kind of bridges topics
maybe
to drink beer around?
Maybe he can write one about Josh McCown.
Don't.
Why not? It'd be great. I like the songwriter. Send me the songs that he's written. I'd like to listen to them on my free time.
Josh McCown should be gone.
Maybe. 713-780-ESPN. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat, you get $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Songwriter might be my early favorite, but it's got to be a collection of all of us, all of our minds. We had some fire very much in the first hour of the show.
King of Twitch says something that I would say. Chance McClain should take a shot at it, too.
Chance McClain
is legendary for his writing of local sports team songs.
Chance McClain, I don't know if I could say he hired me, but he was like the boss here whenever I first was behind these microphones.
I used to like him before now.
Why would you not like him?
Because you just told me that.
How would that change your opinion on Chance McClain?
This is a family show.
Major homer alert. You ready for this?
Sure.
People kicking around the idea that Davis Mills is better than Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and any 2022 rookie.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw the Twitter Texan streets talking about this.
You have to be kidding.
I'm not kidding you. This was a real thing that was really discussed.
Oh, good Lord. Like, how quickly? You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to, every time we, and Brendan, to your credit, always get really good, big-name national NFL guys, and including our own very own Howard Balzer on a weekly basis. I guarantee you, I don't want to be Charles Barkley, guarantee, but I would wager a guess, 90% of the guys that we talk to that have national status covering this league would laugh when we said that, and I don't think anybody would say that they would keep him over any of those possibilities.
We have Robert Mays, who covers the NFL for The Athletic at 145. We can ask Robert Mays, but let's get
But so that we have him back on the show again, can we already give him the prerequisite? This wasn't from us.
We'll label it major homer alert with big capital letters. Like, Trevor Lawrence, I was a little higher on Trevor Lawrence's rookie year than you were, and his numbers were not good. I thought we saw a little bit of flashes, but you're taking Trevor Lawrence over Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach Wilson, another guy who was very volatile as a rookie. He had some high highs, but he also had some very bad lows, and the overall product wasn't great.
A very strong arm.
Very strong arm. Like, are you thinking of the idea where you would take Davis Mills over Zach Wilson if you're starting up a football team? I've been very critical of Justin Fields. You've been higher on Justin Fields than I have. I would even keep Justin Fields over Davis Mills.
Indeed.
Mac Jones, New England Patriot rookie quarterback.
I like how people are crapping on Mac Jones because of what happened in the playoffs. It's like they forgot what happened the 17 weeks of the regular season when he did what no other rookie could do. No, and keep him because that guy is the guy in New England for a while. That's ridiculous.
I like what Mac Jones was as a rookie.
Yes.
I mean, rookie quarterback, you get your team into the playoffs, you're doing something right. And I know his numbers weren't like eye-popping and like record-breaking and things like that, but I like him a lot. I would take him way ahead of Davis Mills. And then how about the rookie class? Like, I would take Kenny Pickett over Davis Mills. I'd take Matt Corral over Davis Mills. I'm not a huge Malik Willis guy, but I might even take Malik Willis over Davis Mills.
Yeah, I think, and again, because we'll wait to see how all the pre-draft stuff goes, but as long as everybody that's evaluating the draft has those guys in the first round and as they grade their talents, there's no way I'm taking Davis Mills over the abilities to get one of those guys that might have a higher ceiling and a chance to be more and do more in the NFL.
You were higher than me on Davis Mills this past season, and you might have even been ahead of me a little bit because I was very slow to come around. And look, I think you and I would agree that Davis Mills as a rookie third-round quarterback was productive, solid. It was a good pick by Nick Caserio, and a lot of people on draft day were ready to, you know, crucify Nick Caserio for taking that pick and reaching on a quarterback with the Deshaun Watson stuff. But the idea that he would go over these first-rounders in the 2021 draft class, the 2022 draft class, just a major homer alert.
You know who I would expect to send something like that out? Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Because Skip Bayless would like the clicks, and he would like the reactions, and he would like all the people with the venom spewing all of that, and he would like to get all the homers to come out of the woodwork and anoint Davis Mills the next franchise quarterback.
And we've been realistic on where he's at. Like, we're being complimentary of Davis Mills. He was a solid pick in the third round. We say that he should be the quarterback in 2022, and that, you know, you probably don't even have to bring in the veteran to compete with him, although competition's a good idea, as you like to say. But I'm totally fine Davis Mills starting 17 games next year for the Houston Texans, but the idea that he's better than any first-rounders in 2021 and the idea that he's better than any first-rounders in 2022 – major homer alert.
This is like a fan poll on Twitter. That's what that should be, because the fans would be the ones that would be all over this and drink blue Kool-Aid while they're listening to the Skeeter song and then roll into this for a conversation. But the fact that anybody that watches the league that knows anything about what we just got done talking about, as long as your checks are paid, you're reporting to the guys that sign your checks, Those guys are expecting you to make smart decisions. Smart decision for any general manager, including Nick Caserio, if he had the option to make any of those deals and trade Davis Mills for any of those prospects, if he said no to any one of them, more so than the swing and miss on David Culley or hiring Josh McCown, he should be fired.
Are we wrong? Let us know. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. You mentioned David Culley. David Culley spoke this morning for the first time publicly since he was let go by the Texans. What did he have to say next? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, we've been talking about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Look, if you win the $50 gift card, you've got a built-in reason to get there. But even if you don't, you should stop by because it's the best Italian food in and around the city. They're in the Richmond, Sugarland, Katy area. But you know what? It's worth the drive no matter where you're coming from because Chris Smith's not only the owner. He is the chef that makes all these unbelievable dishes on a daily basis. And it starts with the fact that the old favorites of everybody, pizza done the right way in a true pizza oven with the great crispy crust on the bottom, but all the toppings staying fresh, or those unbelievable wings in a variety of different flavors, they are fantastic. But the true treats are the real Italian dishes. And it goes from stroganoff and lasagna and all the different favorites. The fact is, you can bring your whole family. You don't have to dress up. You can spread out and relax. Your wallet's going to leave fat, and so is your belly, because you're going to get filled with massive portions of food, and you're not going to get taken to the cleaners with high price tags. He takes care of customers because it's a mom-and-pop type shop, and he wants you to bring your family and feel comfortable regularly. That's why they do what they do. And everything's fresh to order. So that means that all the produce is coming fresh. All of the Italian sausage comes from College Station. He gets the cheese from Wisconsin. And he makes sure that everything is right so that you guys know you will come back again and again to sample everything on the menu. Check him out today. Go to Frankie'sItalianKitchenTX.com. Frankie'sItalianKitchenTX.com. And the reason why I say that is, yes, the menu's there, but also the weekly specials. The weekly specials are only there till they run out, and sometimes there's specials on weekends too. But when you find something that isn't on the regular menu, you got to get in there and try that too. It's always fantastic, it's always fresh, and it's the best Italian food in the city. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
David Culley was on Sports Radio 610 in Kansas City.
Oh, curveball.
Emphasis on Kansas City earlier this morning. Well, to get to that in 3 minutes, but first, Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers lost a basketball game yesterday. They lost at home to SMU. Underrated SMU team, by the way. Kendrick Davis, really good. Penny Hardaway, though, after he lost this game, things have not been going good for Memphis. He's never been to the NCAA tournament since he's been at Memphis, although he does have that banner of the NIT championship hanging in the rafters of the FedEx Forum. He lost yesterday and lit the media up.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of f***ed up sometimes when it comes to me, we don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
Lil Penny ain't taking no more of that trash. I'm telling you right now, I personally know Penny. I play golf with Penny. He's a great dude.
What does he shoot?
He's really good.
Really?
He's a scratch. And
not a scratch head coach.
He wasn't when I was playing with him, but he continued to work on it. But I, you know, you and I have talked about off the air, and obviously because of you covering that and being so close to them in your conference too, it's disappointing because you have Larry Brown on your staff, you have Rasheed Wallace on your staff, you have true basketball minds on your staff. And I even talked to Kevin McHale and others about this too. It's like watching Kentucky and watching Memphis with the level of talent that they have on their roster, regardless of their 17, 18, 19-year-olds, whether they had their full complement or not, the recruiting classes that they had and they have should warrant better basketball. It's embarrassing what they're doing in terms of the systems that they play. that they run and that the game, the way they're playing it. It's surprising to me because of the way he went at the media and the language he used, because that's normally not who he is. But I think that's more so because of the fact that he's feeling some severe heat right now, because as much as he's been able to recruit, we all know you can recruit, but if you don't use those recruits to win games, your time is numbered. Your days are numbered, and it's going to be a short-term run as a head coach.
The fact where he said that like he doesn't have his full roster – no one has their full roster.
Like, it's your guys.
In a COVID year, nobody's going to have their full roster. And yes, if you want to compare it to the Houston Cougars, where, you know, Marcus Sasser out for the year, the best player on the team, Tremont Mark, a top three player on the team, out for the year. The Cougars and Kelvin Sampson went from being a guard-oriented offense to now they're working it inside out, to where they've totally changed who they are. They've changed their identity, and yet here they still are number 10 in the country.
Because you got a great coach.
Because you have a great coach, and that's the difference. And a couple of other things that Penny had to say there. He said he had four freshmen starting. Well, why do you have four freshmen starting? Because you've chased out veteran starters like a Boogie Ellis, like the Sisse guy who transferred to Oklahoma State so you could bring in your heralded recruits. That's why you have four freshmen starting. That's nobody's fault but your own. Same thing where he talked about the young kids, 17, 18-year-olds. You chased away the veterans. You have Boogie Ellis playing at USC and is one of their best players on that team. That is your fault. Like, the press conference he had last night rubbed me the wrong way, because good head coaches overcome the losses. Maybe you won't have the year that you thought you were going to have, but you still have success. And for him to be griping about having young kids, it's ironic because you're the dude bringing in those players.
Well, not only that is, and this goes to everything like we were talking about, as it translates to the Texan situation and other situations, when you handle yourself, you handle yourself like a professional. And so that means not only when you're coaching the team, but when you're at the podium, when you're taking questions. You don't need note cards. Kelvin Sampson's the first guy to admit, we got to play better. We got to play harder. We've got guys injured, but you know what? The other team doesn't care. So that's why we've got to do what we've got to do. And then he does what he had to do, like you said, adjusting his entire system to be able to make sure he gets through these games with the guys that he has available to him. The fact that Penny Hardaway's press conference sounded more like an excuse fest to cover his rear end because of the fact that the heat is actually truly on him by others at the university, and not just the media, is probably exactly why that outburst happened. Because he knows now that it is a blatant, glaring red flag to anybody associated with that university and program that, as well as he's recruited, the decisions he made with the players that left, and the fact that the system that he's... Because he's not running a system. It's basically throwing the ball out there and expecting that if you get some of the top five recruits in the country, that they should just win every game. And it's not that simple, because basketball isn't that simple.
He's recruiting to the stars. He's recruiting to the recruiting class. He's recruiting to try to finish top 10 in the recruiting rankings each and every year. But he's not recruiting a team, you know? Like, you look at that Memphis team, they don't have a point guard. Like, how many college basketball teams win without a point guard? You just don't see it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. David Culley was on Sports Radio 610 in Kansas City this morning. First time he's spoken publicly since he was fired by the Houston Texans. A couple of minor things. He said he's taken 2 months off not to think of anything because he's having double knee replacement, which sucks. I couldn't imagine having double knee replacement.
At the same time?
Yeah. He's having both knees done at the same time, which is...
I don't think that's recommended.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Well, because you have to really heavily favor the other knee during the recovery
process.
He's
going to lay in bed all day.
Yeah. Chewing seriously, on his tongue. You better be hiring some people to do some good work around the house, but... Because you're not going anywhere.
He said he was rooting for the Chiefs in the playoffs, probably because he was on Kansas City radio. But he also said it was the best organization he worked for. I'm not going to quite say that was shots fired to the Texans, but he didn't say the Texans were the best organization he worked for. He got really heated over Eric Bieniemy not having a head coaching job yet, which I know a lot of people feel that way. Now, as far as it relates to the Houston Texans, he said he had a good locker room and a good coaching staff, was appreciative of the opportunity. So, you know, David Culley being classy as you would think he would be. He did say it was a bottom-line business. What we did wasn't good enough. And he said he didn't get the opportunity to do what they wanted me to do, and that was to make the team a winner. We were headed in that direction, he said. But he said the GM wanted to move in a different direction, citing the philosophical differences. Do you believe the philosophical differences as we look back at this? Casario talked about it in his presser. He was in the press release that the Houston Texans sent out. And now Culley even mentions it too, whenever he said the GM wanted to move in a different direction.
No, I think that, again, one, that you don't owe the media any explanation as to what really happened. But just like plantar fasciitis was the fake injury of choice back in the day in sports, because that was the easiest way to cover up what was really going on with one of your players, that's exactly what philosophical differences means. It could mean as simple as, hey, there was another guy, like you had said all along, there was another guy that became available we didn't think was going to be available, and he was available, and we decided to move in another direction. It's also possibly in the contractual language that says when everybody keeps going back and forth trying to figure out how many years is he getting paid for? What is he actually getting? I'm sure that there's a clause in there that states, if you say anything disparaging about this organization, franchise, and your experiences with it, there's a chance you lose a portion of what we otherwise will pay you in the remaining salary that we owe you.
If we're going to entertain that to be like a plausible scenario, which, I mean, everything's plausible, right? Aren't Caserio's philosophies the biggest concern, though? Like the way he's running the organization, the philosophical decisions he's making within the Houston Texans organization, he's firing a guy for what he says is philosophical differences. And as we evaluate Nick Caserio as a general manager, don't we think that philosophy is the biggest concern of the guy?
In part, but again, and this is the thing that I'm going to be leery of until I find out now who they hire as head coach. I want to believe that Nick Caserio and his philosophies are who we're dealing with and what we're talking about. I can't get over the fact that right now there's a chance that as much as Nick might have fed you a line and said that Jack is out of it, if Jack is truly in it, then maybe we should be asking these questions about Jack and Jack's philosophies and what Jack's trying to achieve and accomplish. Because it seems to me that there is an outside chance that the hogwash that he delivered this week was just that and not just a true message that, hey, Jack may still be here, but there's no reason to think it's a negative because he's out. He's not dealing with any of this stuff anymore. I can't get it out of my head that Jack is still in, and he may be in more than we all want or expect.
Now, it's interesting, too, because we're going to evaluate Nick Caserio whenever he makes this coaching hire. Now, yep. I mean, that's fair. It's what we do. We react to things that happen that are going on in the Houston sports world. But at what, like, how long do you have to give the head coach before you, like, evaluate what that head coach is? You know what I mean? Like, if it is one of these inexperienced guys, whether it's a McCown, whether it's a Mayo, people that are considered, you know, they don't have the experience to take over as a head coach, at what, like, how long of a leash are we giving the head coach? And then in turn, kind of how much of a leash are we giving Caserio on that hire?
I think that, again, in every case is different. I think if we're talking about the next head coach and how we evaluate that coach going forward, it's going to be, look, they might coach their tail off. They just might be less talented and just get outmanned by another team, right? So, and I think that that would be forgiven and that would be credited to the head coach. But I think that when you start talking about it as it pertains to this situation and because of what's happened in the past, I think the one thing that goes back to when we talk about, look, there's no limit to how many guys this franchise can interview. I think that it's the next steps, Jeremy, when you're talking about an interview. I may interview you. And I might like what I've been, what you've told me.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
Well, there's plenty of reasons. But here's the thing. So as I interview you, right, and I wrap that interview up, and I'm not in any hurry now, I'm going to now go and talk to people that know you. I might talk to Kelvin Sampson. I might talk to previous employers. I might talk to previous coworkers so I can get an overall, not just what you told me, but I can get an overall. And I think that too many franchises, not just the Texans, but I think too many franchises are in a rush. Because, look, we're already talking about, well, I mean, how long is this going to go on? How many guys are they going to interview? Yeah. I mean, how long is this process going to take? And the fact that last time they were the first team looking for a coach and the last team to hire one.
So they were patient.
So they were patient, but that would also lead you to believe they did their due diligence and they also did a lot of this so that before they even hired David Culley, they knew how he dealt with players in the locker room. They knew how he dealt with adversity. They knew how he dealt with situations. And I don't think they did.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, take a look around the NFL, get to the playoff matchups this weekend. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Four NFL games this weekend. Doubleheader on Saturday. Doubleheader on Sunday. It is the divisional round in the NFL playoffs. What point are the Texans playing in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs?
hopefully at a point when we're still doing radio in this town.
A lot of people thought in the 1245 hour or the segment, we might have been doing radio on Monday.
Well, I was going to tweet. I mean, something about the hate is real or something, just to let people keep their grinders going. But
earliest that it could happen, 2023, in my opinion. Like, next year, absolutely not.
Jeremy, I think there are people on Twitter and otherwise that think they can do it next year.
Major homer alert. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
I was going. People have been tossing around the idea of the Houston Texans as a playoff team in 2022.
Do people not realize what happens to their credibility when they do this once, let alone multiple times?
I guess not.
It's just, it's like, here's the key word, realistically, when do the Texans return to the playoffs?
I think 2023 is almost major homer alert.
I think it is too.
You. Brendan's shaking his head no. Brendan thinks rebuilds in the NFL happen fast, which they usually do.
It has nothing to do with the Texans. Because the Lions have. You can compete to make the playoffs in 2023.
Yeah, adding playoff teams still mean you have to be at a 500 or above level. I think they're 2 years away.
Can the Texans be the Eagles or Steelers of this year in 2 years?
In two years?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, 2 years, yeah.
I think they can.
Next year, absolutely not.
Agreed.
Absolutely not. 713-780-3776 if you're major homer alert. San Francisco heading to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
I guess it's better to just start here and get it out of the way. It's not the first game of the day.
I was going NFC. Going NFC then AFC.
All right.
That's the method
you guys have
of madness.
Go right ahead.
What's the weather report? I know you've been looking at it like every 10
minutes.
It's
gone down every day. The first day it was supposed to start in the 40s. The second day it went down to the teens. Today it's supposed to be 6 or 7 with a 50% or better chance for flurries or snow, which I love.
Can I give you a hot take?
Yeah.
That benefits the 49ers more than the Packers.
Because of their run game?
Yep.
Okay. Have you seen A.J. Dillon?
Yep.
Okay. And then when Aaron Jones? Look, as much as I give the Niners credit for their running game, people sleep on the fact that they have a burner back and a power back that has experience already in the snow, which the Niners are lacking. That's the one thing you can't tell me they have. They don't have that kind of running game in the snow, and they're going to have to figure things out like length of their cleats and other things. But I hear what you're saying, and it concerns me because, again, I watched every play that this team has played this year, and I'm here to tell you they aren't as good as advertised. And I'm here to tell you that Joe Barry on the defensive side has had some real stinkers trying to stop the run. But if you know that Jimmy G is the modern-day version of Jay Cutler, you damn well better do everything in your power to stop the run.
See what I did there? I did. Yeah. I like 49ers plus the points. I have Green Bay squeaking out a close game, but I like the 5.5. I also like the under at 47.5. Aaron Rodgers, though, talking about how the game's slowing down for him.
I think what you want to do is have that flow state be a continual thing. The flow state is kind of the words that we've used to talk about being in the zone, whatever that means. It's really when you're playing your best and the game seems to slow down a little bit.
He is the most interesting man in the NFL. I get in the flow state on an empty stomach around coffee number 4 or 5.
Oh, this week it was not quite that deep. You got into it after coffee 1.5.
Well, that's 1.5 here. That's not accounting for what I'm drinking at home, which I make a pot every day.
Okay.
How do you feel about it? What's your pick?
I've told everybody this, I'm always nervous. The Niners obviously worry me. They're the hot team. They run the football, all those things. Weather a huge advantage. I think the most pressure of any player in the entire playoffs is Aaron Rodgers. And because he can't get this monkey off his back with beating the Niners, it worries me even more. I think 6 is too many points, though I would like this thing to be over in the first quarter.
Shanahan revenge game.
I hate the fact that he is the best game planner.
Love him.
In the entire league.
Love him. Winner of that one gets the winner of the Rams at Tampa Bay. Sunday afternoon game. The Bucs are 2.5-point favorites in this one. The over-under at 48. I like Tampa Bay. I'll give the points. The Rams, to me, everybody's hot on the Rams because of how they beat up a mediocre opponent in Arizona. Give me the Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady. They're getting players back. I do like the under at 48.5 of this one, too. But I like the Tampa Bay-Green Bay matchup in the NFC Championship.
Here's what really worries me about this game if I'm a Bucs fan or if I'm looking at it the way you are. Wirfs being out is a massive loss because that offensive line was the best offensive line in football all year long. And Jensen, their center, is dinged up. He's going to play, but he's dinged up. There's a difference, as Jeff Saturday says, between playing and playing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be playing. And he's tough when he's playing. And I think that two of your main cogs on that offensive line, and how Brady isn't mobile and hates to get hit, and you got Aaron Donald, and suddenly, all of a sudden, it took a while, but Von Miller started rushing the quarterback last game. I think when you have a dinged up offensive line, advantage Rams, and as long as Matt Stafford looks more like last week than he does otherwise, Brendan, I think I would take the Rams and the points for sure. But if Tampa was healthy and they had all their weapons and they had a healthy Fournette and their receiving core and all that other stuff, it might be different. I think it's different this year, and I think the Rams have a real advantage with the fact that in the trenches the Bucs are dinged up.
Fournette questionable. Rams also in the trenches questionable. Whitworth, their left tackle, yeah. He's uncertain if he's going to play.
But the
on
Bucs
Sunday.
Defense still, they were trying to get healthy last week, but they haven't been. Talk about stopping the run.
Yeah.
And the fact that with Cam Akers back, the Rams started to pound the football too, and the Bucs late in the season couldn't stop the run.
That's because they're out without some players that they've gotten back. But this Jeff Saturday's point, there's a difference between playing. So we'll see what Tampa Bay, how healthy they are. The health is a very valid concern. Over to the AFC side of things.
Well, your health is your wealth. You need to invest in yourself.
Okay. Cincinnati at Tennessee, Saturday afternoon. Titans 3.5-point favorites here. I laid off the number. I don't like the number. What I do like is the under 47.5, though. Derrick Henry, the freak that he is going to play in this one. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow says, Cincinnati, get used to this. Playoffs are going to be an every year thing.
Yeah, I think the fans were very excited, but you know, I try to downplay it and all that because this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for you know the bare minimum every year going forward.
First off, is he right? Is Cincinnati a playoff team perennially now? Burrow as their quarterback?
I mean, God forbid any injuries, but you know what? They're building it the right way. If they take the entire offseason to strengthen that offensive line for the guys that they have a running back, they have a wide receiver one, and they've got one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. There's no reason to believe, and he's supposed to say those kind of things. I think, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what do you think about Saturday?
Look, I think you're absolutely spot on in terms of the under, because here's the thing. Derrick Henry's a full go, and he's going to play. If they have any success running the football at all, they are going to be ball control offense, and they're going to try and keep it out of Burrow and Chase's hands. So, therefore, I like the under, and I think that at home, Tennessee has a really strong home field advantage. Weather's going to be a key as well, but I think that this is still their first go-around in Cincinnati, and I think that Tennessee has higher expectations. I think that Tennessee's good. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but I think Tennessee wins the game.
As a general rule, I like to bet on the team that has the top seed that had the bye, because they're a little bit like out of mind, out of sight for like Vegas and all of those people. And usually you get a little bit too much weight for the teams that won on wild card weekend. Final game of the day, and might be the best one. Buffalo heads to Arrowhead Stadium to face the Chiefs. Chiefs given 1.5 here. I like that side of it. It's a big number at 54. I don't care. This one's going over. Remember a year ago, Chiefs ended the Bills season at Arrowhead Stadium. Pat Mahomes with a little mutual respect to one Josh Allen.
He's a tremendous player. I actually know him a little bit off the field as well. Great dude. They put a lot on his shoulders, and he rises to the occasion. I mean, he's able to run the ball. He can throw the ball. He has the arm strength to throw anywhere on the football field, and he makes great decisions. So, like you said, we'll probably play them a lot of times. It'll be great competition, and it's definitely a great challenge for us as a team to compete with them.
Is this the new Manning Brady? Is Allen the same tier as Mahomes?
At least in the AFC, it definitely is. And I think that, you know what, the one thing that worries me as we were talking about the running games is the fact that Buffalo's running game is Josh Allen. And I know that they had some glimpses. Is it Singletary that showed up a little bit last week?
He's been running well in the final month of the year.
But I still think that worries me a little bit, plus the fact that he's getting over an ankle injury, a foot injury. So I have to stick with my pick in the fact that at the start of the year, and every time someone jumped off the bandwagon, I said, the one thing with the Chiefs is they're not hurt. They're just trying to figure it all out. And they look like they can start to figure it all out once they got to the second quarter the other night. I still like the Chiefs to win the football game.
I'm on the Chiefs side as well. 713-780-ESPN. When we come back, we'll continue the NFL conversation. Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, will join us when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, joining us now on the HRMP guest line, Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, an NFL writer for The Athletic. Robert, before we dive into the NFL stuff, I want to get your thoughts on the current Houston Texans coaching search. They fired David Culley. They've interviewed Brian Flores, Vince Lombardi's grandson, Joe, Hines Ward, Kevin O'Connell, the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and now Josh McCown. What's your read on the situation?
I mean, it's a strange kind of job, right? I mean, the people that they're looking at and just the way it's all gone there and you know, everything about it seems a little bit different. You know, I'm not going to paint some of the details in a negative light necessarily when you think about Nick Caserio being on the headset or the relationship and structure of the front office. You know, it may very well work out, but it seems like a unique situation. And I think that them looking at Josh McCown reportedly as serious as they are probably speaks to how unique a situation it really is.
Robert, we like to have fun here on the Killer Bees as well as get into all the brass tacks of the NFL. But we want you to have a little fun with us, appease us, or maybe take this completely seriously. But we want to know, because I want to make sure I'm very clear on this. This was not coming from this show or any of us. But because of everybody evaluating the Houston Texans, Twitter was a bit of a stirred up last night because there was the question asked, would you trade Davis Mills for any of the quarterbacks out of this year's draft or the quarterbacks coming out of the draft this year? And I got to warn you, there were people that said they would not. Your thoughts? Thank you.
I mean, Davis Mills performed admirably in poor circumstances. Is that an acceptable answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting more because I know you've got some loaded up. But yes, I mean, we'll accept that. But there could be more detail if you'd like to expand on it a little bit more.
I honestly believe that what Davis Mills showed this year makes him a worthwhile flyer in 2022, right? If you're sitting there and you're the Texans and you don't know what your quarterback situation should look like, you don't have any necessarily clear avenues to an upgrade. You don't want to spend resources at this stage of your rebuild on going to find a quarterback. I think you could absolutely be in a worse spot than Houston is in with Davis Mills, considering the draft capital that they spent on him. Listen, we have no idea what this is going to look like. I mean, it is a strange, strange situation. The roster last year was incredibly odd. It was one of the oldest rosters in the league. It was all these one-year deals. This could go in so many different directions. And I think having Davis Mills as part of that weird recipe that they seem to have down there, again, you could do a lot worse as you're figuring out what the retooling of this is going to look like.
Yeah, I think both things can be true, right? Where he looked good as a rookie and he deserves a chance to be the starter in 2022, but no way you're taking him any first rounders in 21 or this upcoming draft as well. Robert Mays, our guest on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Want to kick around some of these games that are coming up this weekend. Go to the one at Arrowhead, the last game of the week. What do you think of the idea that Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen are on the same tier as far as quarterbacks go in the NFL?
Oh, man. I think the best version of Josh Allen is probably on the same tier as Patrick Mahomes. The guy we saw last week, I said this on our show this week, and I firmly believe it. You can't be more valuable as an NFL player than Josh Allen was to what the Bills' cause was last weekend. And it's because of everything that he can do. Obviously, the supernova types of throws he's capable of, but what he can do with his legs. You know, when it's third and three, the fact that they can lean into some of those design runs, what the Bills have built around Josh Allen, kind of that spread offense, all of the passing that they do, how they use him as a runner, there isn't an offense in the NFL that is more quarterback-focused and quarterback-centered than what Buffalo does. So in terms of what they mean to their respective offenses, kind of the space and oxygen they take up for those franchises, I think that makes total sense. For me, I think it would be Mahomes has been steadier for most of his career. You know, you look at, obviously, the turnovers in the early part of his season. That's luck. You know, those are bounces of the ball. we don't have many 9-6 losses to the Jaguars on Mahomes' resume. And I think that's why, at this point, you'd still rather have him, because you have those high highs of Patrick Mahomes, but you don't have as many cratering lows as we've seen from Josh Allen at times. That being said, I think that those two kind of trading monster punches for the next 10 years in the AFC is something that I'm very ready to watch.
All right, let's look at the NFC, the Rams and the Bucks. We know that Brady is Brady, but Brady really relies on his offensive line. We know Wirfs is dinged up. We know that Jensen's dinged up. We know the fact that that can affect a pass rush that suddenly, with the resurrection of Von Miller, looks pretty vaunted with the Rams. How do you see that one playing out between Tampa and L.A.?
You look at that game. We go deep on our show today, and you look at the matchups on paper stylistically, and I think that on paper, the Rams have advantages. You know, the way they play defensively, where they're going to play with those light boxes and kind of tempt you into running the ball, that is a really good matchup against this Bucs offense. The Bucs struggled to run the ball the last time these two teams played against one another. With the receiving options out, there is the opportunity there for the Rams to just say, Jalen Ramsey, you're covering Mike Evans the whole game. That's how we're going to do this. He is not going to beat us. That is the number one matchup we have to our advantage. We will use the rest of our secondary and the rest of the pieces they have. So if you just kind of look at it as a tail of the tape, I do think it's an advantage for the Rams. But Brady is playing at such a level this year that he's a boogeyman, man. I mean, it is so hard to rule him out in these moments, even with an offensive line that's dinged up, even with the receiving core that is looking at Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, and whatever guy you want to pull off the street. I just think that the chance the Rams make some really backbreaking mistakes is higher than that of the Bucs. If the Rams play a clean game, I think right now they are probably better than Tampa Bay. But I don't have a ton of faith in Stafford not making one of those decisions that kind of makes you scratch your head.
Robert Mays, our guest on the HRMP guest line. Derrick Henry expected to give it a go against Cincinnati on Saturday. What kind of Derrick Henry is realistic to expect?
It's a great question. I mean, the one thing that you really need from him that they don't have now. So if you look at their rushing offense over the last few games and what Deontay Foreman has been and what their running game has looked like now that their offensive line is healthy, I think you've seen that they can still grind it out, but they don't have that home run hitting capability. Can Derrick Henry give you that? That is the central question of what differentiates him and the running backs that they've been plugging in there over the last few games. If you can get, you know, 15 carries from him and he can break one, if he can get a couple explosive runs, that might be all you need. At the same time, I think a lot of his effectiveness and a lot of what makes him special is he grinds you down. You know, what they can do as a running game in the fourth quarter, overtime, you know, those just splash plays and those moments where you're just gassed and he rips off a 70-yard run to put you away. Does that same capability exist when he's only touching the ball a dozen times because he's on a pitch count? I think that's going to be a really important question.
Well, Robert, Jeremy did that intentionally to leave me with the last game that was remaining, and I'm not going to tell you what side of the fence I'm on. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, how you see that game going, but more so, who do you have confidence more in the weekend games, Ryan Tannehill or Jimmy Garoppolo? Robert?
Ryan Tannehill. I was thinking.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. I just think that the Garoppolo, oh my God, why did you just do that moments are more prevalent than those from Tannehill. Tannehill has his faults, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's going to hang on to the ball no matter what and hunt out those big plays down the field. I mean, he is not afraid of when the pocket is collapsing around him. But at the same time, Jimmy's going to give you one or two, even in those moments where there's a clean pocket, when it doesn't make sense for him to let some of those balls go. I think that even when you give the game to Jimmy Garoppolo on a platter the way that Kyle Shanahan does, there are times where choices from him can torpedo you. I think if you consistently put Ryan Tannehill in the right situation, the right game script, the right down and distance, for the most part, he's going to keep the train on the tracks.
Very good stuff as always, Robert. We appreciate you taking a few minutes and enjoy the divisional round of the NFL playoffs this week.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
It's Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show and NFL writer. Very good stuff there. So you want some breaking news on Lance McCullers?
Sure.
I have very good evidence that his elbow is just fine. In fact, I tweeted this and he liked it.
Oh, that's you getting two major, major players in Houston sports history to like your stuff recently.
Yes, yes. Both of them with, I guess, high-velocity fastballs and good secondary stuff. But Lance McCullers just posted a video of himself, okay. Wedding week for Kid Keuchel. He's a left-handed swinger of the golf club, which we knew because we saw him hit in the World Series in an interleague play. But dude's playing golf. It's a pretty good indication he's probably okay with the elbow, right? He also chugs a beer. I hope it's a beer. I think it's a beer. After he swings the golf club. I think he had the ball on the beer can. But anyways, I quote tweeted this, and I said, pretty good evidence Lance McCullers Jr.'s elbow is just fine. And I said he has good form on a couple of fronts. He liked it. That's evidence that his elbow is just fine. We should expect 100% Lance McCullers if Major League Baseball has a season.
Well, I like the way two and two together make six. But you know what? If it's in our favor and hopefully he's okay, then you know what? And he liked it. So that means he's not denying the fact that he's feeling okay. So that's good.
Breaking news on the Killer Bees on ESPN
97.5. You want to start a poll question on Twitter because of it?
Or? What kind of poll?
I don't know. Do you want to... I don't know, put some kind of question out there about,
I don't know if it's
would you trade Lance McCullers for Garrett Cole?
Yes,
or
I would.
Max Scherzer?
Yes, or, I would.
Just checking.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, our favorite game, your favorite game, everybody's favorite game, who said it? What ESPN 97.5 host had this to say? We guess next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.